Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind, Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Robin Hills. He is an author of Emotional Intelligence for, an author. And today we are going to be talking about his book, Emotional Intelligence for Change. Welcome, Robin.
Hello, Mana. Good to be here.
Yes. And I should tell you that Robin is all the way from the UK. And he's given me some really good energy with his Rolling Hills background. So I love it. So for those that are listening on the podcast or the radio, just take my word from it. I'm just seeing rolling green hills behind Robin, and I'm loving it because I love green. And I was just telling him before we started the recording that whenever I see green, I think of Ireland, because there's Ireland is a country full of green. And Robin says he's just an hour away from Ireland. So welcome again.
Thank you, Mina. These are the Lancashire Moors for anybody who is interested.
Okay, really? Nice, awesome. Okay. All right. So let me give you a little bit more information about Robin. Robin Hills has over 35 years business and commercial experience helping executives and leaders develop business performance through increased self-awareness and understanding of others. Robin's focus is on supporting personality and behavior in business based on the everyday application of emotional intelligence. He is the director of EI for Change, Emotional Intelligence for Change, a company specializes in training, coaching, and personal development, focused around emotional intelligence, positive psychology, and neuroscience. His educational program on resilience and emotional intelligence are used in educational establishments in South Africa, in India, as well as over 5,000 students in 125 countries. All right, Robin, you know, emotional intelligence and resilience in the workplace is a big topic, because we know that a lot of our stressors comes from working with people in the workplace. It's not necessarily your spouse or your children or immediate family, but in the workplace is where we have the most stress. And learning how to maneuver that with emotional intelligence is actually a great skill. So give us a little background as we start off. We know that emotional intelligence is a big topic. And what does it really mean? And what was your journey into becoming an expert at it?
Oh, now there's a lot of big questions there. So let's just take them bit by bit by bit. Sure. Firstly, I just want to say that emotional intelligence, emotional resilience in the workplace is going to be affected by what's going on with your partner, what's going on with your children, what's going on at home, because these are going to drive your emotions so that when you're at work, you don't leave those emotions in the trunk of your car. You don't leave them in the parking lot. You take them actually into work with you, and they're going to influence the way in which you engage with people. So I think we've got to remember that before we start. But to move on to the next question, what is emotional intelligence? Well, emotional intelligence is the way in which you utilize your thinking with your feelings in order to make good quality decisions and build up authentic relationships. So if you are awash with unpleasant emotions because of circumstances that are happening outside of work, you're not really going to be in a good place to have a jolly, happy relationship with the people that you work with, particularly if you undergo levels of conflict with them. And that's going to mean that you're not necessarily going to make the best decisions. So to move on to the next part of your question, how did I come into emotional intelligence? I was doing a sales job, a very high pressured sales job within the pharmaceutical industry in and around the teaching hospitals of central London. And I recognized that my emotions drove the way which I engaged with people. So interestingly enough, their emotions drove the way in which they engaged with me. Now, at the time, that was at the end of last century, where nobody had heard of emotional intelligence. So it wasn't until the mid-90s, when the first books were published, that I suddenly realized, aha, this is what I've been searching for all my life. What can I actually do in terms of working with this idea and with this concept? Well, at the time, I hadn't got much more experience than a lot of sales experience and a little bit of management experience. So it was really a case of building that experience up, just getting more and more experience working with people, influencing, persuading people, and understanding how they engage. And well, I'm still learning, as I'm sure you're still learning. It's just one of these things that you'll never find the ultimate answer to.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you circled back and corrected me, because yes, you're right. A lot of times when you see someone that is very, I want to use the word nasty, but unpleasant.
Yeah. Well, we find them all the time, man.
When you see somebody that's unpleasant in a workplace, you're right. You can always, go back to the fact that that it's something that's at their house that is affecting them, right? And we always actually say that. Somebody would say, "Hey, you need to have a life outside the work or something." But that's actually very true. But the reason I said that a lot of times emotional intelligence has to do with, learning to navigate that situation, because a lot of times nothing is wrong with you, but you have a boss or something that you have to learn to intelligently deal with them, right? So that's basically why I said that. So that's good. So let me ask you, is there an emotional intelligence test?
Oh, the word test is not quite right, but people call it a test. So let's go along with this. I prefer to call it an assessment or an inventory, because with a test, it implies that there are right answers and there are wrong answers. However, Mina, I will say that the word test is widely used when we're talking about personality tests. And a lot of psychologists will refer to their instruments as tests. So the answer to your question is, yes, there are quite a few assessments of emotional intelligence. Some look at measuring abilities. Some look at measuring competencies, and some mix the two together. Now, my preference is to look at one that mixes the two together. And I'm a great fan of what's known as the EQI 2.0, the emotional quotient inventory 2.0. There are other good. There are other good tests available, but I like that one because it's got a 360. It generates a leadership report, and there are a wide variety of norms, which means that we can select out Western managers who are male, aged between 30 and 40, and identify how people perform against that group. And then we can look at a South African norm and see how people perform against that group. And it's the most widely used assessment test, if you like, across the world. And the other great thing about it is it's been translated into a number of different languages, which means that if you speak Puerto Rican, you can actually take the test in your language, because if it's translated into English, is it a real test of how you're thinking and how you're feeling?
Right, and how you're translating, right.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I got that.
Happy Gymtober, everybody. This next song is by artist BTS Jimin, and it is called Filter. Listen and download on Spotify. Filter. To teach your children the Bible as they eat at the table? Introducing Yah's Manna, a biblical tableware set for children, including a plate, bowl, cup, fork, spoon, and best of all, a coloring food grade silicone placemat that your child can use to color on and learn the Bible. Yah's Manna was first discovered by former NBA player Jamel Simpson and his wife Angela, trying to come up with ways to teach their children about the Bible. The founders based this idea on the verse mentioned in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it." Through our products, we want to encourage the fruits of the Spirit in each of our teachings through the classic stories we display. Explore more at www.yahs-manna.com. The website again is www.yahs-manna.com.
Are you in need of prescription medications? Are you not insured or paying a high deductible? Are you buying medications not covered by insurance? Or are you in the coverage gap? Well, the EasyRx drug card is for you. You can present this card and save up to 75% on your prescriptions and vaccines. You can use the card as much as you want. You can share the card with your friends and family, and you can learn more by either going to easyrx.info or calling 1-888-602-2978. Again, easyrx.info.
The Accident Lawyer is a short comedy film by Atlanta director Warner Nolan. This film is about an accident law firm. Angie, a paralegal, gets assigned to a commercial which she has to complete within a week. With her bar exams coming up, can she get the job done? Watch this comedy on vimeo.com/on-demand/accident-lawyer. And find out if Angie gets the job done.
So what exactly are you looking for, though, when you're doing this emotional intelligence test? What are they looking for? What's a high score? I mean, because what I understand from emotional intelligence is how you respond and deal with people. Is that what this is all about?
It is, but we're not necessarily looking for high scores. Because when you and I were at school as children, we were looking to be the best in class and we wanted to get that top score all the time. I think that drives the way in which people look at these tests. A score of 9 or 10 is likely to be as bad as a score of 1 or 2, because strength mm-hmm. overplayed becomes a weakness. So ideally, we're looking for a sweet spot, which is about 7 or 8, which suggests that there's room for improvement, but mm-hmm. people have got that level of competency, that ability, when it's appropriate and when the circumstances are right for them to express themselves in that way.
Okay. All right. Got you. All right. So, but your book, and I found the name of it, sorry about that. It is, it's called The Authority Guide Emotional Resilience Business Book. So you're combining emotional intelligence and resilience. So how are they related?
Well, again, a really interesting question, because surprisingly, resilience itself is not a part of an emotional intelligence framework. So
I know.
It's very bizarre.
Right. Yes. To me, resilience is about, you know, you're going to stick to it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, that is measured in the emotional intelligence assessment. So what we need to do is just to understand what resilience is. It's a component of stress management, and stress management is part of emotional intelligence. Particularly if you're looking at the EQI 2.0 inventory, it will measure your stress management. It will look at your stress tolerance. And stress tolerance, to a certain extent, could be called resilience. But if we look at what resilience is not what most people think. Oh, it's bouncing back. It's not that. What resilience is having a realistic understanding of the situation that you find yourself in, and accepting that things cannot always be brilliant all the time, and having a kind of realistic optimism. Life is good, life is meaningful, and that's an important component of resilience. And then it's having the adaptability and the flexibility and the creativity to make the most of the situation and put things to different uses in order to help you to grow and develop through the situation that you find yourself in. Now, a lot of those can't be measured in the same way that emotional intelligence can be measured, but emotional resilience is how do you emotionally utilize all those components to say, okay, life is throwing me a bit of a curveball at the moment. How do I work with it? I don't like the situation that I find myself in, but what do I do? Because if you don't do anything, you're going to fall over. And that's not being resilient. I think it's also important to say here that people have got to look at their mental health. And if people are undergoing severe mental health issues, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. They've just got to seek the support and the support that they need, whether mm-hmm. it's clinical or medical support, or whether it's the support of family or friends or a therapist or whatever it might be. But it's mm-hmm. getting the support that they need to see them through that awkward patch. There is nothing wrong with having a mental health issue, and it's a case of coming to terms with it.
Yeah, the stigma is being reduced now, because yes, in the olden days, people didn't ask for help. They just committed suicide, or they just, you know, it got worse because there was a stigma attached to it. But you know, there is a movement now by, you know, a lot of the athletes and a lot of the stars that are coming out and say that, you know, I have mental health issues, and it's breaking that stigma. But so you're right. Yeah. A lot of people don't ask for help. Right.
It is. And unfortunately, stigma still exists to a certain extent. It's going to take a lot of time to wash it out. And people, unfortunately, still have nowhere to turn to and feel that suicide is the best option for them. But I think the if anything positive has come out of the pandemic, it shone a light on mental health issues. And I think that we are more inclined to actually talk about them and say, hey, I've got a problem. Can you help me? Can I talk to you about it? Yeah, and I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, there's always good that can come out of bad, you know. You know, we have a saying, there's always a silver lining under a cloud. So that's one of them. But all right, so let's transition into stress, because your book also deals with stress. You know, it's part of the title is Strategies to Manage Stress and Weather the Storms in the Workplace. So what are some of the strategies that, you know, we can use to reduce stress in the workplace?
Well, I think one of the easiest and quickest ways to reduce stress is to understand your emotions and to recognize what emotions you are feeling and the impact that they are having upon you. Now, emotions are emotions. There's a lot of nonsense said about positive and negative emotions. Well, we can't label emotions as positive or negative. We're experiencing emotions for a reason. And the important thing is to understand the information that these emotions are trying to convey to us. So if we're feeling angry, why are we feeling angry? What is it that we need to do in order to work with that anger in a positive way? A negative way of utilizing that anger is to bottle it up and let it get worse, or to go and take it out on the wrong person, your partner, your children, the cat.
Right, or your subordinates in the workplace, yes.
Or your subordinates in the workplace, whoever it might be. So it's a case of actually saying, look, I am feeling angry. This is the cause of my anger. Somebody has transgressed one of my core values. Now, am I going to accept that and put up with it? Or am I actually going to go along and deal with that? Am I going to go and say to that person, this is unacceptable. When you behave in that way, it is making me feel like this. I want to punch your lights out, but I can't do that just simply because that would not be appropriate. And I don't think you thank me for it, and I'd lose my job, so I'm not going to thank you for it. But I think we need to talk about this issue and resolve this issue now. It's very easy for me to say this in the cold light of day. When you are in the intensity of that emotion, I think the important thing is to recognize it and to say to yourself, right, I have to get myself out of this situation. I have to take myself away from it, calm myself down, and then deal with it appropriately. And ask for time out, go for a walk in the countryside, have a coffee, go and talk to some friends, go and, sweat it out in the gym, whatever it is, but do something to work with that emotion and then deal with it. You're not going to get rid of the situation if you go and sweat it out in the gym, if you go into a boxing ring and punch the lights out of an opponent, which is quite legitimate, but do something positive about it. And then when we are undergoing change, we go through a whole series of emotions, and it doesn't matter what the change is, we will undergo a particular pathway of emotion. The first emotion, we feel anxious. Oh dear, change again. Can I cope? And then there's a degree of happiness. Oh, at least something's going to change. What I thought was wrong about the old system is right. Things are going to change. And then people start to go into the depths of despair. They go through an anger cycle of threat and fear. And then they start feeling guilty about the way in which they've behaved. And then they will sit in this fog of despair, which might even go into clinical depression, before they come out the other side, they've had a realization that there is a need for this change and they need to change in themselves. And then they'll start to see some of the positive values in terms of the change, and then they'll see themselves in the future and move forward. Now, if I'm at a particular point on the change curve, I may be behaving in a completely different way to how you're behaving on the change curve. So if you understand how people are responding through change, and you can recognize certain behavior patterns, as a leader, you're in a better position to support and manage your team, your subordinates, the people who work for you, in order to help them through the change that's being implemented at the time. Yeah, it's your boy Bugatti. Oh, nana. Let's see that. Let's see that. Two wrongs can never make it right. Baby, neck win all the fight. Oh, 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 I will never let you down. Baby, take me as I am, oh, 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 ah. Fire, fire, Odo, Ewu, Odo, Ewu, anything I got you. Don't make me, they call me Odogu, call me Odogu, ah. Fire, my Odo, Ewu, Odo, Ewu, anything I got you. Don't make me, they call me Odogu, call me Odogu, ah. Because I find your love interesting, but baby, make you know the stress me, oh, eh.
Would you like to learn how to manage grief in easy to follow steps? Then you're invited to the Grief Management Made Easy series with D. Rowe, Christian grief coach, author, and educator. Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., starting October the 24th and 31st, and November 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. Early registration is from October the 10th to 16th and is $20. After that, the registration fee is $25. In this series, you will learn how to use efficient strategies to mitigate the impact of grief and navigate your emotions successfully. Learn the biblical perspective of grief and God's care and love for you. Register for this event at greatnessvalley.com/registration. That is GREATNESSVALLEY.com/registration. In her book, Splinters of My Soul, author Kimberly Morton Cottrell answers the question, how deep is the bond of siblings when one's career, marriage, life, and darkest secrets are on the line? Splinters of My Soul tells of the heart-wrenching story of six little girls with horrifying injuries that leads to a gruesome murder in Cloverdale. Tiffany Brown Carson's world comes crashing down, jeopardizing her medical career and revealing things better left unsaid. Against the wishes of the local police, her brother, Tony Brown begins a painstaking search for the truth. His relentless actions uncover a chilling secret forbidden by his sister and evidence of massive corruption from low-ranking officers to as high up as the chief of police. Pick up your copy of Splinters of My Soul, now available on Amazon.
In this technology-filled world, it is easy for our kids to get lost in video games, the internet, and so on, such that they forget just how beautiful the world around them is. Does this sound like your little ones? Would you want them to change their perspective so that they can see that the world is full of so much richness and beauty? If so, the book from author Dwayne Williams, Into the Woody Hills, available on Amazon, is the help you've been searching for. This must-read book will resonate with your kids and teach them that there is more to life than just screens. It makes the perfect gift for any child in your life, your own kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even kids in your classroom. So are you ready to change your kids' lives? One story can change everything and help you achieve all of this. Into the Woody Hills is an amazing storybook designed for all children that will teach kids the beauty of the world around us. Order your copy right now on Amazon. Into the Woody Hills, from author Dwayne Williams.
Yeah, that's pretty good. As you were talking, I remember, actually, it's a classic, the book Who Moved My Cheese? And that is all about...
I'm familiar with that one.
All about that change. What was that? It's all about, you know, the process of change and going through change. And I think it was, you know, based on the workplace too, because, you know, a lot of people are resistant to change. You know, a lot of people are resistant to change. And then they see that the change is actually good for them. So it's actually pretty good. So what I think I'm understanding you saying, though, is that if I'm a leader with emotional intelligence, I would understand that change is a process. And I wouldn't get upset if there's a lot of pushback from people because they're objecting to change. I would understand that it's a process. And sooner or later, or do I guide them? Do I just understand it? Or do I do something to guide them towards it?
I think the most emotionally intelligent way of dealing with it is finding out what everybody needs and what everybody wants, because some people will need a lot more guidance than others. Okay. So what it is that I need will be different from what you need. And a good leader will actually then adapt what they need to do and how they need to communicate with everybody. And a lot of leaders don't have that time. And are not prepared to put that level of investment in. And I think the other thing we've got to say here is, again, look at this realistically, that leader themselves is going to be undergoing some level of emotional turmoil. They are not going to suddenly, oh, bit of change. Yes, I've adapted to it. Oh, fine. Everything's fine. Now I can support everybody else. They may be going through a degree of anger and despair and hostility around the change. They may be going into denial. They may be disillusioned because of it. So how do they work with their emotions and how do they work with everybody else? Now, people who go through that change curve really quickly could be too resilient. And they get to a point where, oh, I've made the change. Come on, sort yourself out. Come over here as quickly as you possibly can. No, don't worry about being depressed. No, that's all right. Just come over here. It's fine. But that's not going to work. That's not going to work. So we've got to watch out for people who are too resilient, because there's just no empathy there whatsoever.
Yeah. Because the too resilient one, you're right. I know people like that. What's wrong with you? You know, why is it taking you so long? You know, I'm already gone through it and it's a good thing. What's wrong with you? Why are you lagging behind? So they're, you know, if they were, you know, happy and in by themselves, but it's because they're judging other people that makes it a difference. So one of the questions I have here is, can you use emotional intelligence to reduce your stress? Is there a way you can think your stress away?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. And it's also all about this self-awareness. It's all, which is a fundamental component of emotional intelligence. So it's having this knowledge about yourself. What is it that you were good at? What are your strengths? And work with and play to those strengths. What are your liabilities? What's going to get in the way? I'm not a great advocate for working with liabilities and weaknesses and trying to change them. No, look at what it is that you are good at. What makes you really special? And try and get more of that good stuff. Because if you can do it well, strangely enough, all those weaknesses and liabilities kind of disappear. But then you've also got to have this emotional awareness where, and it goes back to what I'm saying to you earlier, you know, we've got to be looking at why am I feeling this emotion at this particular time? How am I going to work with it? How am I going to express it? How am I going to manage it? What is it that makes me annoyed? What is it that makes me frustrated? What is it that makes me joyous, makes me happy? How can I get more of the emotions that I enjoy and less of the emotions that I don't enjoy? Now, there are going to be certain situations at work where, whether you like it or not, you're going to have unpleasant emotions. You don't necessarily enjoy them. But that's a part of being at work. Before I came on to this interview with you, Myrna, I was not feeling particularly good for a whole host of reasons. I was feeling particularly unpleasant. I was feeling anxious. I needed to feel that way, because if I didn't feel that way, I wouldn't physiologically be in the right place to be able to have a good interview with you. Now, like I say, I don't like feeling like that, but it's an important part of that process. So if you're going into give a presentation to the board, if you're going to give a presentation to your senior manager about the sales results, which are not as expected, you're not going to feel particularly good about that. And you're not going to be deliriously happy about the prospect. So you've just got to learn to cope with it and manage it.
Manage it. That's actually pretty good. Yes, you got it. You know, emotional intelligence is knowing the times. Like, you know, when I was at work, I remember having this saying that I put right in front of my computer, and it says, "God give me the strength to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the ones that I can't." Something along those lines. You've heard of that one, right?
Yes, I have. I have. Nuremberg's prayer or something like that.
But, right, exactly. Right. So, yeah, when you're at work, you know the things that you can control, and the things that you control is yourself. You can't control someone else. You can't control sometimes the situations, or, you know, your company decides to, you know, move their headquarters and go to a different state. And, you know what I mean? There's nothing you can do about that. You decide whether you're going to go or you're going to stay, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Because that has actually happened. So, all right. So you were talking that that resilience is more than bouncing back. So how can we develop resilience? You know, we started by talking about emotional intelligence when we went to stress. So now let's you know, these are all, you know, topics in your book. So let's talk now about, you know, resilience.
Well, let's have a look at some action strategies for coping and managing stress. And we've already talked about knowing yourself as being a good action strategy. When I'm working with people and when I'm coaching people and they're telling me how woeful life is at that particular moment, one of the questions that I will ask them is, well, what do you need in order to feel in control? Because the most important thing is to get yourself into a position where you can control what it is that you can control. Now, in certain circumstances, there are certain things you can't control. So don't worry about them. Look for the wisdom that you've just been talking about to know what it is that you can control and put yourself in control of them.
The Entrepods team is excited to announce the new Bootstrap Bootcamp. This self-paced course is loaded with worksheets and innovative industry advice to make your business become more profitable in the next 30 days. This course is specifically designed for solopreneurs or those that work in small teams. We focus on the whys and hows of entrepreneurship to help you make time for the important things in life and take it to the next level. Take back your confidence and become the business owner you've always wanted to be. If you get stuck, our course is equipped with industry experts in business management, podcasting, social media, customer relations, and more. We're here to give you powerful strategies that have been refined for small business owners like yourself. Sign up today at entrepods.com/bootstrap-bootcamp.
What if I told you that you can increase sales dramatically for your business and it won't cost you an arm and a leg?
Hi, I'm Robert Hudson from IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. I want to help you attract more customers organically by getting you to the top of online search engines without the ridiculously high price tag of online or offline advertising. Learn more by going to my website, IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. That's IncreaseSalesDramatically.com.
Shop Inside Out Creations to support those who are currently incarcerated. This store features designs by formerly incarcerated individuals and those who work with them. The proceeds from the store will help further four organizations' mission to give back to those who are currently and formerly incarcerated. These individuals deserve a real second chance that will help reduce our community's recidivism rate. Visit the website at www.insideoutcreation.store and use discount code Atlanta during your checkout to receive 30% of your total purchase. We're in the movement, support the missions.
If you're like me and care about your skin's health and what you put on your skin, then I have the perfect solution for you. Check out Cocobina, an all-natural handcrafted skincare line that helps you achieve radiant skin by clearing and healing acne, hyperpigmentation, and eczema, and leaves you with glowing skin all year round. One thing I hate is when I have an important event and a pimple wants to pop up on my face and tag along on my journey, then leave a dark mark behind when it leaves. The solution is Cocobina. Get your products today by visiting www.cocobina.com. Follow us on Instagram at COCO_BENA. The website again is www.cocobena.com.
The next component that I'd like to move on to is having this vision, this personal vision. Where do you want to be in a year's time? What do you want to be doing? Where do you want to be in 5 years' time? What do you want to be doing? What do you want to be doing in 10 years' time? Now, in 10 years' time, we've got no idea what the world's going to look like, but just have a vague understanding of where you want to be, what you want to be doing, what you want to achieve. Because in 5 years' time, you'll have a better clarity around what it is that you could be doing, should be doing. And certainly we don't know what's going to happen. Here we are in 2021. So we don't know what's going to be happening in 2026. But we've got a clearer idea of what's going to be happening in 2022, a year from now. So what do you want to be doing in a year's time? And then you start to break it down into, right, what do I need to do by the end of the year? What do I need to do by the end of next month? What do I need to do by the end of the week? And once you break it down into those small steps, suddenly you've got a clearer idea. Oh, I want to sail around the world in 2031. Yeah, okay. How feasible is it? Now, in order to do that, what you need to do in 5 years' time, what you need to do in a year's time, right? What can we do today? Well, we can start looking at where we want to go. We can start looking at the logistics. We can start looking at the budgets. We can start looking at what it is that we need to do to change that idea into a reality. Now, somewhere along the line might fall over. In a year's time, you might suddenly decide, you know, I haven't got the money. So there's no point in carrying on without personal vision, because the next critical bit is, okay, if that's still really what I want to be doing in 10 years' time, where am I going to get the money from? Right, so it's creating that personal vision and then working with it. So it's being flexible and adaptable as well, as I've talked about earlier. What is it that you need to do to adapt around the situation? What is it that you need to do to change things in the way in which you can change them? And then quite a few of the other hints and tips really rely on getting the right networks and connections in place and being socially competent so that you can get people who you can go along to and have, if necessary, and if you need it, a good cathartic moan. And just let it all out. You know, somebody who's not going to judge, somebody who's going to listen, somebody who's going to agree with you, somebody who is going to say, there, isn't the world really awful? And then kind of you can build each other back up again. And you come away from those conversations feeling so enlivened and so enriched. The world hasn't changed much, but boy, do you feel good for it. So, you know, don't worry about going along and having a cathartic moan. Go and enjoy it, but you've got to find somebody who you can do that with and who you can trust.
And that's good. Huh. So yeah, that's actually good advice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, go along and get coached. Yeah, go along and get coached. You know, you'll get somebody who will ask you those really irritatingly awkward questions that you don't want to answer. Go along and find somebody who will coach you. That's a different relationship. Sometimes you just need to have somebody, a shoulder to cry on. That's probably, yeah, somebody who you can have a shoulder to cry on. And then a mate, a friend, somebody who doesn't know necessarily the intensity of the emotions in the situation that you find yourself in, but is going to listen and is going to understand and is going to care enough. And they will share their woes with you and you can have a really great time. And, you know, you do it in the restaurant, do it over a bottle of wine, just do it in a safe place and just enjoy it.
This podcast is sponsored by HappyBeingWell.com. HappyBeingWell.com carries the best selection of natural products for your self-care pleasures, including high-fashion, high-comfort yoga leggings, crystals, sage, natural candles, natural soaps, natural face masks, and more. Go to HappyBeingWell.com to subscribe to our newsletter and get 10% off your purchase, including free shipping in the USA.
Do you use social media to market your business and not sure how to gain followers or sell your products? Then Social Media 101, Awakening the Dinosaur, How to Use Social Media Platforms, Where, What, and How, A Beginner's Guide by Daniel Zane Bryan is your answer. This book would help you navigate through digital sites and platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, WeChat, Tumblr, Twitter, and more. For each site, you will learn what the application is and will be provided a quick user's guide. By the time you are finished reading this reference guide, you will be more familiar with how to navigate your way around 11 social media platforms. Pick up your copy of Social Media 101, Awakening the Dinosaur, How to Use Social Media Platforms, What, Where, and How, A Beginner's Guide today on Amazon. Dr. Ward is a licensed psychologist working in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His new podcast, Into the Fix, discusses the mistakes people make in their lives and offers tips on how to avoid making these same mistakes in your life. Each episode ends with a concrete action you can take to begin implementing change in your life. Into the Fix cuts through the noise and provides insights you can use in 10 minutes or less. Download and subscribe to Into the Fix on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leadership, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starfleet Leadership Academy, its ongoing mission to develop leaders through Star Trek, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. A Star Trek podcast told through the lens of leadership development. Subscribe today, the Starfleet Leadership Academy.
Vignettes of the Possibly Dying is a collection of spiritual prose, poetry, and meditations by Australian author K.B. Eliza. K. KB Elisa started to write stories the year she tried to live in a treehouse. That year was an unusually wet one, with thunder that made her dog shake. As a young child, she loved to escape into the dimension of storytelling. Vignettes of the possibly dying are stories about fate, hope, and a strong notion that there may be more beyond our world that we can perceive. People are loving this book. One review said, "Must have book. Raw emotional honesty that made me rethink about different perspectives on spirituality and other preconceived ideas I held. I have ordered more for Christmas gifts." Another review said, "A must for those searching for peace and clarity. A collection of poems that reassure spark, thought, and ignite change." Pick up your copy of Vignettes of the Possibly Dying on Amazon or by visiting kbeliza.com.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good advice. You know, me, because I'm a coach and it's also my personality, whenever somebody comes to me for this cathartic moment, I'm always trying to give advice and always trying to whatever. And my husband always says to me, "I don't want you to talk. I just want you to listen." And it's very hard for me to just listen.
do you know, my wife is just awful at being able to listen. She will tell me exactly what I need to do, and she will do it in a forceful manner. So it's now got to the point where I just don't tell her, because there's no point. It's too stressful. It really is. No, the person that I go to have my counseling therapy session with is my eldest daughter. She's in her 30s, and she's just brilliant. You know, I can go along and I can really have that conversation with her. I'd love to have it with my wife, but the relationship isn't that way. Yeah, you know,
I'm learning. It's very hard for me to just, you know, not be translating it in my head to think, okay, how can you fix the situation?
Yeah, you know, that's very, very hard. But look at that relationship. He gets something else from you that he can't get from anybody else. And I get that with my wife as well. I get from her that emotional connection that I just cannot get from anybody else. Yeah. So, I don't want her to be perfect, because I'm certainly not. So, you know, between the two of us, we've got a good, healthy relationship. We have our moments, and there are times when I would happily put her 6 foot under and blow the consequences. But there are also times when we get on incredibly well, and you know, we just have a really, really good, happy, loving relationship. And I think that's just part of a relationship. And it's also a part of being resilient. It's knowing that everything is just not going to be perfect all the time. So don't expect it to be.
Yes. And one of the things that my pastor always says is, deal with people according to knowledge. So you know what they like and know what they don't like. And you know that my husband wants me to listen and not talk. And you know, you learn to do that.
Yes. Yeah. It's very, also, you know, in the business context, you have to learn how people are going to respond to your communication messages. Some people will respond immediately and will want a response immediately. And then other people you can send an email to, and you know it might be 3 or 4 days before you hear back from them. So don't get stressed by it. Once you've determined how they like to communicate on the communication channels, just adapt your expectations based around what you're finding. Sometimes you'll communicate with them and they'll surprise you. But most of the time, if you go in not expecting to be surprised, you're not going to be surprised. Therefore, you can cope with it.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Great conversation. All right. So let's tell our listeners about your book. From our conversation, we've covered, you know, most of the topics in your book. So Your book is called The Authority Guide to Emotional Resilience in Business, Strategies to Manage Stress and Weather Storms in the Workplace. And of course, it can be found on Amazon. So do you have any anything else you want to say about your book or why someone should get it?
Well, I think the important thing is for people to go along and have a look at the book. I was very pleased for it to be published under the Authority Guide series because it actually shows a level of authority behind the messages that are within the book. But if people are not interested perhaps in reading a book, I've actually converted the book into an online course. And you can actually go along and watch short little videos around each of the topics, and you can look at those in terms of self-paced learning. So that's another alternative. And if people go to courses.ei4change, that's the number 4 change, ei4change.info, you'll be able to find the course there, and you can have a look at it. And there are a range of other courses that you can have a look at, and also a free emotional intelligence book that people can download.
So you've got a free emotional intelligence book. Okay, all right.
Yeah, and that's available on courses.ei4change.info. So please go along and sign up and download the book.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, emotional intelligence is, like we started off by saying, it's a very good skill to have. And you know, like you said, it's not just in the workplace, it's dealing with your partner, dealing with your children, dealing with any kind of relationship, and dealing with stresses that comes by in your life. So very good. So thank you, Robin, for this, you know, excellent interview. A transcript of our conversation will be on the show page, blog.myhelps.us. We'll also link to your website, which is courses.ei4, which is the number 4, change.info. And do you have any social media links that you want to share?
Oh, you can find me on all the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Please come and look for me and connect with me. If you can't find me under Robin Hills, look for EI for Change, and you'll soon be able to find me.
EI for Change. Beautiful. All right. Well, I will definitely link up to you, Robin, on the social media channels, and I will post them also on this show page. Yeah. So thank you so much for this wonderful interview, and good luck. And I know that you're going to be having a very pleasant day with, you know, looking at those green rolling hills. So.
Well, it's getting dark at the moment here in the United Kingdom. So those green rolling hills, which are only about a quarter of a mile away from where I live, are going to be shrouded in darkness soon and illuminated by the lights of Bolton in the background.
Okay, that's awesome, right? Yes, yes. Well, all right. Well, listen, you have yourself a very pleasant evening. And thank you guys for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. Until next time, blessings.